You know, one of the things that we need to realize today, and appropriate timing going off to school, is that God is our teacher. And I know we all have teachers that we can look back in our past and say, they really changed my life. They impacted my life. But how big of a difference and how important would it be if God were literally our teacher on a day-to-day basis? How much would that change us to sit at the feet of the creator of the universe? In Matthew chapter 23, he says, you have one teacher, and that's the Lord. So we need to understand God as our teacher today. Now, teachers, maybe you can help us understand this a little bit better, but one of the things that has always frustrated me when I'm teaching somebody is that they don't do things the way they're supposed to do them. Maybe you've experienced this in the classroom where you say, this is the way that this math problem is supposed to be done. And they say, I know how to do math. And they keep trying to do it. And they keep producing the wrong answer. Now, you didn't know we're all going back to school. Now, I am not a math wizard. And I'm a little bit intimidated by you math and physics people that are and chemistry people that are sitting out there. But let's do some advanced math right here, okay? Well, let's say that we have this very gigantic number, right? 578, and we want to add another very gigantic number to it. Now, man, I got this down. This is just simple math products here, right? So, whoa, I don't want another six. That would be another sermon all in itself right there. Yee! We'll just go with another. Okay. Fives are easy, yeah. So, you know, this is advanced. I know some of you kids, you're looking at this and thinking, this is advanced. I don't know what to do. But I can add really easily, so help me out here, guys. What, 8 plus 5? 13. Very good. So, 7 plus 6? Also 13. Man, this is like Jeopardy or something. 5 plus 6? 11, right? We've got this down. So, 578 plus 665 is 111,313, right? Quit laughing at me, right? Y'all have been sitting in churches all summer. I've been studying for this right here. Right, I got to go back to school. Now, it's obvious because we learn in like the first grade, right? You got to carry a one at some point or another and put a one up there and you just can't write 13. But how frustrating would it be? I know how to add. Quit making fun of me, right? That's the way we operate so many times in life. Now, just because I want to impress you, we're going to go into some advanced mathematics here. So, do y'all remember when you got into math and there was more than just numbers and it was confusing? Like, am I in math or am I in English class? Now, remember when it started off with something like 5x? You're thinking, oh no, I'm in over my head already, right? And they would have something like, you know, 5x plus 3, and there's parentheses, like they're trying to keep it a secret from you or something like that. And then you have, you know, 4x, you know, minus 9, and oh man. And I grew up in the generation of applying as many kitchen principles as you could, so we foiled this thing, man. We foiled it. First, outside, inside, last. I remember again my math class, you know, first, outside, inside, last, you know, and whatever was written on the board, first, outside, inside, last, we got it down, right? So what do you do here? You 5x times 4x, right, which would be 20 and a lot of X's, right? 20X with a little 2 up there, which nobody ever really understood what that 2 meant. But 20X, then outside, right? So we got 9 times 5, 45. 45X, whoa, I just did 4X, but it's 45X. And then inside, 4 times 3, 12X. And then you have the end, 9 times 3, 27, no X, right? So you have this beautiful equation, 20x squared plus 45x plus 17x plus 27, right? Isn't that incredible? This is advanced mathematics. Some of you aren't as smart as the middle service people, I don't think, right? It's not right, is it? At some point, pluses and minuses matter when you're dealing with math because it doesn't matter that I know how to foil and I know to go first, outside, inside, last. When the equation comes out, something is going to be wrong if I missed a minus right here, right? Now, I don't know about you, but in math, I always wanted to have this answer. Jonathan, that was right. You did good. Oh, in life, I want to have that answer too. Following Jesus, I want to have that answer. I want us to look in Isaiah chapter 48. Because Isaiah writes something that's very amazing in these first two verses. He says, "Hear this, O house of Jacob, who are called by the name of Israel." Now, because we are an extension of Israel and grafted into the vine, this could very much be addressed to us. It could say, "Hear this, O Fellowship Church, who are called by the name of Jesus Christ." That would be a New Testament version of the same letter. But it says, "Hear this, O house of Jacob, who are called by the name of Israel, who come from the waters of Judah, who swear by the name of the Lord and confess the God of Israel." Man, that sounds awesome. Praise the Lord. I want this paragraph to be like addressed to me because this is incredible. Then we have a but that enters in. I'm not talking about a physical trait. I'm talking about a conjunction. We're sticking with school things, right? "So they confess the God of Israel, but not in truth or right. For they call themselves after the holy city and stay themselves on the God of Israel. The Lord of hosts is his name." Now, I don't want this paragraph to be about me. I don't want it to be said of me. Yeah, do you know that pastor over there at Fellowship Church? Yeah, he can tell a great story, but oh, it's just something not right. Yeah, he's kind of a jerk. We don't really like him. Oh, you know, that's not what I want to be said of me. And something that we have to get into our brains, and some of you have never gotten this, and maybe you want to write this down here, that we follow God by his ways and not our own ways. So that's crucial for us. God wants us to follow him according to his ways, not in saying, I'm going to do whatever I want to do to follow God. You imagine in a few weeks sitting here at this Bob Shelton Stadium on Friday night, watching Hayes High School play Lehman High School. And, I say to you, "Man, that guy is incredible. Isn't he great?" And you say, "Oh, he cheats at what he does and he's a real jerk." Well, that changes the way I think about that football player suddenly, doesn't it? We don't want this to be said of us. If we're going to follow the Lord, we want to follow the Lord the way he wants us to follow him. If I'm a farmer and the Lord has called a chicken a chicken, I can't become a farmer and say, "Now I think this chicken is a duck," and throw my chickens into the tank outside. That would mean that my farm would never operate properly, right? And so many of us, we're going through life and we know, okay, I know how to pray and I know how to read my Bible and I know how to go to church. But then for some reason, at the bottom of the equation every time, instead of getting right and all of the numbers making sense and wow, God did what he said he does, we find hell down here, don't we? We find our life in this twisted, nasty mess and wonder what went wrong. What went wrong? Isn't it amazing in 2014 how we have sins that are okay, and sins that are bad, as if we had the power to classify them in that way? What am I talking about? Well, God tells us in the Old Testament in many places, do not murder. It's one of the Ten Commandments, right? Man, you're wiping your head and grateful that I thought he was going to say something I was guilty of, but good. And I'm not seeing anybody. Yeah, you're not here. So now I'm looking at a few of you, with the raised eyebrow. Right. Nobody in here has murdered somebody. Yet what if we fast forward to when Jesus was around and he said, if you even hate your brother, it's as if you violated that law. Do not murder. Now that's all of us, right? But hatred is one of those sins where it's surely just between me and I can get away with it and I can show up at church and lift up my hands and everything's going to be okay. So I really hate this person. And so we give ourselves over to that hatred, and just this person, I'm going to love everybody else. I'm not going to love that person, but everybody else, and I'm just going to choose to hate this person. And it just twists us up on the inside, and I don't know what's going on because I'm praying and I'm reading my Bible and I'm going to church. And how come the whole thing is just not functioning correctly? What about when God tells us in the Bible to rest? And how many times and how many books and how many different ways does he say, rest in me? Yet in 2014, we hold these people in high esteem that don't have to rest, as if that honors God. Ooh, they can do more because they don't require the same amount of rest. That doesn't make sense. They're in violation of what God has commanded them to do. And even though it looks like they can do more and more because they're not resting, sooner or later on the inside, there's bits of hell that are stirring around in there and causing them fits and causing them problems. And then we would even say of them, well, they're praying, they're reading their Bible, they're going to church. What's on the bottom line? How come it seems like they've just fallen apart? How we follow God is important. To not gloss over the things that we think are okay to gloss over, but to follow him right and in the truth. Now, it's interesting that Isaiah is going to say there's two quick things of ways that we have violated what God intended for us. And he starts in verse 3 and he says, "The former things I declared of old." This is God speaking. "They went out from my mouth and I announced them. Then suddenly I did them and they came to pass. Because I know that you are obstinate and your neck is in iron sinew and your forehead brass, I declared them to you from of old. Before they came to pass, I announced them to you, lest you should say, my idol did them. My carved image and my metal image commanded them." What is he saying? He's saying he knows you're stubborn-headed. Right? And stiff-necked. He knows that. You know that about your own spouse, right? He knows that about you. We're stubborn people. So he says, because of that, I did things in advance that only I can do and only I can put together. And you need to look at those things and glory in me in those things. For instance, let's just take two examples. Isaiah 53 in the Bible, and Psalm 22. Psalm 22 was written by David. Isaiah 53, it seems like Isaiah is sitting at the foot of the cross recording everything that is happening to Jesus when he's on the cross. There's a big problem with that. The cross wasn't even invented when Isaiah wrote it. And then you rewind before that when David wrote Psalm 22 and he's recording the words that Jesus is saying on the cross and what's going on to Jesus on the cross. And there's a bigger problem with that. Not the Roman government wasn't even around at that time, let alone the cross. And God is saying in advance things that only God can do, where we can look at that past and say, wow, there is none like God. But we need to be a people who are encouraged by God's work in the past and not just discouraged. We need to be encouraged by that work. You see, if we made this personal, there's work that only God can do that he's accomplished in your life. I mean, how many of us could stand up in here and say, it was amazing the things that God started doing to bring me to Jesus Christ and faith in Jesus Christ. And I couldn't have arranged those things. God arranged those things. And person after person in here could stand up and say, wow, this happened and it was incredible. Only God could do that. Some of you are in this room saying, no, that hasn't happened to me. You think you're here by coincidence? God is doing those things in your life. He's drawing you to himself. And we see those things happening and we give praise to God for those things. You see, but what we have believed, and the church in the United States has believed for many years now, is that we're beat up from our past. We live in shame because of past things that we've said and done. We live in regret and wish that we could do something different than we did in the past. We live in hurt and we think, oh, that person really hurt me. I'm just going to live in this hurt and continue looking bad upon the past. That's not the truth. That's Satan. The truth of God's word is Romans 8:28 that says, we know that God works together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. So even that stuff in the past, God wants to work together for good. That's truth. It's one of the things that makes God God. He has the ability to reach in and all of the junk and all of the good stuff and throw it all together and produce something for his glory right now today. What do you look at when you look at your past? Are you allowing the enemy to beat you up? Are you giving God glory for what has happened in your life? Let's keep going into verse 6. You see, this is a second thing. He says, you have heard and now see all this, and will you not declare it? From this time forth, I announce to you new things, hidden things that you have not known. They are created now, not long ago. Before today, you have never heard of them, lest you should say, behold, I knew them. So where God just said he orchestrated all of this in the past, now he's saying, right now, open up your eyes, I'm doing a new thing. You have never heard, you have never known from of old your ear has not been opened. For I knew that you would surely deal treacherously and that from before birth you were called a rebel. For my name's sake, I defer my anger. For the sake of my praise, I restrain it for you that I may not cut you off. Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tried you in the furnace of affliction for my own sake, I do it. For how should my name be profaned? My glory I will not give to another. Praise the Lord. He says, you see how I worked in the past? Now open up your eyes because I'm at work right now. Guys, if we're going to give glory to God, if we're going to follow him as our teacher in the right way, then we have to trust him right now with what's going on in our life. We have to trust his current work. I guarantee you this, God wants to use you today. Teachers, you are stepping into a classroom where God has a reason for you to be in that classroom. That kid that's going to drive you nuts from the first day on through Christmas, you're probably in that classroom for that kid. Students, you're in a classroom for a reason. That guy that's trying to pick on you or that girl that's making fun of you, you're probably in there for that person to demonstrate to them the love of God. We've got to start opening up our eyes and trusting him with this work. Now, what does he say? He says, if you knew in advance the work, it would be treacherous to you. It would be treacherous. Why? Because as soon as we know what's coming up, we like to hijack it and take advantage of the situation, don't we? That's us. That's me. That's you. God says this is built on trust. How many of you in here work in Austin? Anybody? Great, yeah, hands all over the place. How many of you that just raised your hand, is I-35 your favorite road in all of Texas, right? Yeah, I love it because I just sit and wait there. So many hours of your lives have been spent on I-35. So what do we do when we're getting onto the on-ramp there by the HEB of I-35 and our radio says, a semi-truck has just rolled over at Slaughter Lane right by South Park Meadows on northbound 35. We're smart. God gave us wisdom. There's another way to get into Austin, right? Man, I'm getting off of I-35 North. I'm going over to 1626, the little two-lane road trap of death, right? To drive, and that's going to be much better for me to drive in Austin. So we get over there to 1626 with everybody else on northbound I-35, don't we? And we think, oh, that's going to be better. That's not going to be better. Everybody just got off of I-35 onto a little two-lane road, and we sit and we wait and we have smoke coming out of our ears, don't we? As if 5 minutes is going to make a big difference in our day. It would have been a little easier just to wait for the wreck to clear, right? Or we got to trust God with right where we are. You know, some of you have such a hard time with that because you're in one of the worst spots of your life. You hate your husband, you hate your job, you hate your wife. What I know about those tough times is that God used every one of those tough times for his glory today. Think about times where Elizabeth and I didn't have two pennies to rub together in our marriage and how that's impacted our finances today, where we're better stewards of what God gives us today. I'm so grateful for those times where we struggled. I think of when I struggled as a 16-year-old with so much sickness, how 17 years old was so different for me, and I had such a different outlook on the rest of life because of the sickness that I had endured. Think of the last 6 months of the ninth year of my marriage with Elizabeth that were so horrible. 6 months were just incredibly bad. I didn't know that our relationship could go to such depths. And I remember now that the 10th year was probably the best year that our marriage has seen because of what the Lord taught us when we trusted Him in those times. Some of you would look at me and say, God's not working in my life. He's working. That's why the past is there to encourage us that we can see His hand guiding us so we can trust Him today. In verse 12, listen to me, O Jacob and Israel, whom I called. Now you're here because God has called you. You might not realize it, but God has called you. That's why you've been drawn here. Listen to me, O Fellowship Church, whom I called. I am He, I am the first, and I am the last. My hand laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand spread out the heavens. When I call to them, they stand forth together. Assemble, all of you, and listen. Who among them has declared these things? Isn't that incredible? Man, can we just say praise the Lord? Praise the Lord. He is good. Now, this next sentence is about a man named Cyrus. And we talked about him 2 weeks ago. Cyrus should have been the enemy of the Jews, but God used him to conquer the Babylonians and send the Jews back to their home. It says, the Lord loves him. He shall perform his purpose on Babylon, and his arm shall be against the Chaldeans. I have spoken and called him. I have brought him, and he will prosper in his way. See, Cyrus is the very last one that they would have thought to help them, yet that's the way that God chose to help out the Jews. See, that's opening up your eyes and seeing what is God doing all around me. Now, you can get online and listen to the sermon 2 weeks ago to find out all that God did through Cyrus. But I look at these statements, right? God saying, I am the first, I'm the last. God saying, the foundation was laid by me. I spread out the heavens. I call these heavenly beings into order every single day. And I look at this Almighty God who holds these things in His hand, and I realize He is my teacher. Oh, I want Him with me. Every step of the way, I want Him with me. There is no way that I would have attempted foiling without a math teacher looking over my shoulder and saying, Jonathan, didn't you learn plus and minuses last year, right? There's no way, or I would never be able to do this. This would have been for real, right? Or a lot worse than that. There's no way I would attempt physics without a physics teacher there to explain what's going on and help me understand so I can learn. And now that's just school. But you look at what we face in life, in our relationships, in our works, in our families, and we expect to do it without God there teaching us? Man, I want Him with me in each one of those places. You know, when I was a youth minister in Temple, Texas, there was a rock climbing gym in Harker Heights, just a few miles outside of Temple. And man, I just thought it'd be a great place for a lock-in. And so a lock-in is where you stay up all night. And I thought, great, we're going to climb rocks all night long. This will be so fun. So we had about 50 teenagers that came out for the lock-in. And the rock walls in this gym are 40 feet high. And what I didn't know was perilous at the time. There were these two guys that were there working for the gym that were probably 18, 19 years old. They were out of high school, and they obviously liked some of our high school girls that were there in the youth group and some of our college girls that were there to help sponsor the group. And I saw that, you know, in their flexing their muscles as they're strapping on, you know, and showing how the carabiner works. And I thought, okay, they're just rock jocks, you know, that's the way that it's working. But what I didn't realize is that some of our females we're also enamored with some of these guys that were flexing the carabiners and their muscles at the same time. And so there really wasn't the greatest amount of attention paid to the safety mechanisms. And why that's important is that you're going to get 40 feet high and let go of the rocks, and your life is going to be hanging on a rope and carabiner and something that's wrapped around your waist. Pay attention, right? No more than 5 minutes had passed by into the lock-in where the nightmare of all nightmares happens to somebody that's in charge. And I heard this loud clang, which was a carabiner hitting the top of the rock wall. And in the periphery of my vision, saw this shape just zooming down to the floor. And it was one of our female sponsors. She was a college student. And, you know, what I saw just puts your heart into your throat. And I was thinking, you know, I'm never going to work again a day in my life. This is the last job I'll have ever had. She's laying face down, and Lord be praised, there's about a foot of mesh material that gives of this chopped up rubber. And so she didn't just hit concrete, but I thought, you know, she's dead. That's it. And she starts wiggling, and so just rejoicing over that. And so as soon as she starts moving and everybody just, you know, converges upon her, the next thing that you notice is that her right leg is sticking off in a direction that is not correct for legs to stick off of. And I'm sorry to give you chills with this, but she spun as she fell, and she I had a spiral fracture of her femur bone, which means that it broke like this when it broke. And so her leg is going off in a different direction. And she gets rushed to the emergency room, and amazing, that's the only injury that she has. The weeks pass, and they operate on her femur bone and put a rod in it. But something happened that day in surgery, and about a year and a half later, she has such chronic back problems, she can hardly get out of bed, and they realize, we put the wrong size rod in your leg, and your right leg is a little bit longer than your left leg, and that's why you have all of the pain. And they had to re-break her femur bone and do a new surgery on her femur bone to fix it all. There were legal things that ensued. It just was not a pleasant experience. And so many times when we hear things like God saying you need to rest, God saying don't hate your brother, we think these are just little things. But what's at stake is our families. What's at stake is our lives. What's at stake is eternity. And we might even think, but I'm already saved and I'm going to know the Lord. But what about the people that are watching us and learning from us? And there's so much more at stake that we follow the Lord correctly. So I don't want to show somebody this is the way you follow the Lord, and then they see this and it's a jumbled mess. Well, your life doesn't look any differently than mine. What's the difference? Now, hear the love of the Lord in this verse, as I feel like this is almost just Jesus speaking directly in verse 16. He says this, draw near to me. Hear this. From the beginning, I have not spoken in secret. From the time it came to be, I have been there. And now the Lord God has sent me in his spirit. See, even though the stakes are so high and it might seem like when we mess up, we're going to come crashing down, right? And things are going to break that shouldn't break. The Lord is saying, I'm here. Hear me. Draw near to me. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God who teaches you. He is our teacher, who teaches you to profit, who leads you in the way you should go. Oh, that you had paid attention to my commandments. Teachers, how many times have you said that? Oh, that you had paid attention to that last lesson. Then your peace would have been like a river. That's beautiful. And Friday, I got to immerse myself in the San Marcos cool spring-fed river, and you almost forget that it's 101 degrees outside. Your peace would have been like a river, and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. I remember going out on a deep sea expedition 40 miles into the Gulf, and everywhere you look, forward, backwards, right, and left, are just the swells of the sea. And your righteousness would have been like the waves. Every way you go, righteousness. Your offspring would have been like the sand and your descendants like its grains. Their name would never be cut off or destroyed from before me. So what do we say when Almighty God wants to be our teacher? What can our response be? Church, boy, this will help you for the rest of your lives. Obey the teacher. Obey the teacher. Man, he wants you to succeed. He wants peace and righteousness to be yours. These things that he's talking about are blessings for you, right? He's not going to bless you through financial means and having a bigger, shinier car than everybody else, but he wants to give you peace and righteousness where the rest of the world wouldn't have it. Some of you don't know how God teaches you. I want to give you five things to look for in God teaching you. See, God wants to teach you through his name. I mean, even in this paragraph, he's called himself Lord, Yahweh, God, Adonai, Redeemer, Holy One. See, we learn the names of God to learn about his nature and become like him. He teaches us through his presence. Right? The church is the body of Christ. We are the presence of God in this room. He wants to teach you through that. Not only that, but the power of the church is the Holy Spirit. And that's what he says right here. The Lord God has sent me and his Spirit. If you're not in a place where you can be still and hear the voice of the Lord speaking through the Spirit, how is he going to teach you? How are you going to grow past addition and get to foiling? Through his holiness, he teaches us. You see, as we read and learn and know about God, we see that God is different than the rest of the world and that he wants us to be set apart like him. So we see his ways and we know his ways to follow his ways. He wants to teach us through his word. I mean, he even says right here, pay attention to my commandments. I wish that you had. These are for you. That's why the Holy Spirit writes them upon our heart. He teaches us through byproducts of our faith. How many of you had a situation that was just horrible and then you gave the situation to the Lord and then suddenly it was better, right? I didn't know it was going to be so better. Well, what happened? Did my jerk spouse suddenly change? No, but you suddenly started seeing them through the eyes of God. Well, what happened to my work situation? Did everybody just get better? No, God got a hold of your heart, and now suddenly things that didn't make sense earlier are making sense through God. You know, before I moved from Temple to Rockport, I needed to sit down with this lady that broke her femur bone. And frankly, for about 2 years, I had been avoiding her. I knew that her life was so horrible, and I felt responsible for her falling. And we had talked off and on because of legal reasons. So finally, before we left, I sat down with her. And when I walked in, she said, Jonathan, I know why you're here. And I just want you to know I love you. I don't have any hard feelings towards you. I know this wasn't your fault. And I didn't know what to say and how to respond. And she said, I want you to hear something. And I want you to know this from the bottom of my heart. She said, Jonathan, I'm glad that I fell off of that rock 2 years ago. And as I was picking up my jaw off of the ground to say, this is not what I expected in this conversation, she said, you wouldn't believe what God has taught me in the last 2 years as I've been forced to trust him, forced to rearrange my life the way that he wants it to be rearranged. I'm so grateful for that day because it put me so close to the Lord. So thank you. That's a godly perspective. What a joy to have that perspective. What a joy to do things right and to honor the Lord. Father, how we love you. And I thank you for this day. Thank you for this time. Lord, we just give you the week and this semester ahead of us in school. And ask that you would be our teacher, Lord, that we could follow you in what is right and in what is true. God, don't let us neglect these little things. But Father, help us to glorify you in our past, to trust you right now, God, with where we are. Father, and to seek you with all of our heart for what lies ahead. Oh, we need you for that, Lord Jesus. Be Lord of our lives. In your name we pray. Amen.